meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
And it is Loveline. I am Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla is away in the Bahamas. And, yes, God bless you. God bless you for leaving me alone. And Lauren, Brian, and Anderson, we're all here in peace tonight. And in honor of his being absent and not engaging in 8 minutes of rant about high school football and blah, 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 and how his dad never came to the football games and I hate my mom, blah, 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 I'm going to go right to the phones. First, we've got Monica, who is 14. Monica, what's up?
Hey, my boyfriend and I...
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute. I'm having a flashback. Excuse me. What's up, Monica?
My boyfriend and I have been together for about a year now, and he lives in Wyoming. And the other day, he sent an email to me asking me to marry him.
He's how old?
He's 16.
Huh, that's pretty sensible. 16, why not? Perfectly normal. See, some things Adam says is okay. Perfectly normal, perfectly natural. All right, 16, he's in Wyoming. Did he just move?
Well, actually, I've never met him in person, physically. We've talked over the phone and sent letters and pictures.
Have you caught onto this new term, flesh meeting, flesh met? They say if you've not yet, you sort of met on the internet, you've talked on the phone, but you've not had a flesh met yet. No flesh meeting.
No, we've had, like, camera meetings.
Right. So what do you think about this?
It's a little unnerving, you know, not being with him. And it's a little concerning because he's been seeing other people.
No, I doubt it. He's been saying he has, but I don't know about that. Look, this is... Did you write back to him and say, cool out, and look, you're my friend, we're close. You called him your boyfriend.
Well, yeah. He asked me to marry him, and I'm like, you know, what should I do? Because I'm 14, and I'm going to be a sophomore this year, you know?
Right. You got to be at least a junior before you get married, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't want to get married. We got to tell him that this is ridiculous, and he's got to cool his jets, and that you care about him very much, but that this is getting out of hand. And you're worried about him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because this is kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's also kind of bizarre, though, that you would call him your boyfriend.
Why is that?
Never having had a flesh meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing about these internet relationships is they get completely built out on fantasy. You're having these... It's so funny. When you get into these dialogues with people on the internet, it feels intimate, right? Doesn't it, Monica? I mean, it feels like you're really in an intimate kind of an exchange with that person. You say all kinds of things that you wouldn't say to other people, and it's almost like whispering under the blankets to one another. But the reality is, there's no relationship. That's the reality. The reality is that you don't know each other, you've not been face-to-face. There's so many other sort of variables that go into being in the presence of another person, and even just physical contact, just holding hands and how people feel with one another and the kinds of things they do with their daily rhythms and enjoy. And there's so much else to relationship than these little intimate dialogues that you have on the web. So it's great that you make the connection, and that sort of creates a level of efficiency so you can sort of move to the next level. But if you never move to the next level, you're really just in a fantasy. Monica,
yeah.
You know, and so this marriage thing is part of a fantasy too. I suspect he does not live a very happy life.
Well, we are planning on going to California when
you get married.
We're both out. Yeah. See, this is just like...
Monica, I hate to say it, but you're about as delusional as he is right now. What's your plan? What's your question then?
What should I do? I mean, should I...
Nothing. Do not marry him. You can go ahead and maintain your relationship on the web if you want. Further, and actually have a face-to-face meeting if you want. This is not your boyfriend. And this is not somebody you're going to get married to. At least not for several years. What is up with him? Is he have a pretty miserable life?
I don't believe so.
Really? Is he alone? Does he have no friends?
No. I've talked to his friends. And
a 16-year-old that's hell-bent on getting married is looking for an escape. Looking for a life preserver. Hmm?
Oh, yeah. I think we're both looking for an escape. But
why are you looking for an escape?
Life is a little frantic at my house.
Why? What's the matter?
It's just family, you know, life in general.
What's the matter?
My parents are a little controlling.
Controlling? They yell at you and abuse you?
No.
They just don't let you out of their grasp.
Yeah, and they're like telling me, you know, you got to go to college, or you're not even part of this, you know, situation. You know, we're going to be proud of you as long as you go to college. You know.
All right.
Well, I don't think that's what I want.
Well, I think they listen. They just have what. That's fine. That's good. Somebody needs to support what it is that you want, but they've got your best interests at heart. Going to college is sort of a way to get a job ultimately and to be independent. And think just do good in school for a little while. Maybe you'll ultimately want to go to college on your own. Ryan, 23. Don't get married. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
What would be. I became clinically depressed about a year and a half ago.
Yep.
And went on Effexor, and then about 3 or 4 months after that, they figured out maybe it's bipolar.
Okay.
And went on Depakote.
All right.
What is the interference with, would marijuana interfere those
marijuana
job
maybe,
that they're going to do?
If you're having to smoke pot in spite of being on all that medication, marijuana may be the reason you're on all that medication.
Well, not smoking the marijuana for like to feel better. The pills work and everything.
But I understand. But if you're still compulsively using pot.
Mm.
There's a huge problem. That's marijuana addiction. That's probably why you got depressed in the first place.
No, I never used marijuana before. Well, I had occasionally used marijuana before that, but never like I am now. I did start drinking heavily once I became depressed and figured out that's bad. That doesn't work with the pills. So I'm wondering if this is going to mix with the pills and turn into a negative thing.
It's going to be a negative thing. It's like, first of all, your depression can't remain in remission if your addiction is running out of control. So if that gets going, the depression is going to fall apart. And secondly, it really does work against the medication. Crystal, 16.
Hey.
What's up?
The guy I'm seeing right now, he's 23.
You're 16.
Yeah.
Good times.
Right. But, see, I don't know what to do about this because, I mean, I'm to the point where I care about him enough to where I do not want him to get in trouble. You know, he's had enough trouble with the law, and I just don't feel like making his problems any worse.
What are his problems with the law? Here we go. Parole violation. What's his problem with the law?
About 2 years ago, he had a girlfriend, and she left his house drunk, and she flipped her truck in a drunk driving accident, and she died. And about a year later, he was driving down the road with his friend, and I don't know what they were talking about, but his friend said some smart comment about it and being sarcastic and mean-spirited about it, and he just wailed on him, so he got charged with aggravated battery with great bodily harm.
Did he hurt the guy?
Great bodily harm.
What,
yeah.
What did he do to the guy?
What did he do?
Yeah.
I think I think he dislocated his jaw and something else. I don't remember, but.
Don't you think that's a little over the top?
Well, think about it. If your girlfriend or wife died and your friend, you know, makes some retarded comment about it, and you know that, and they know
What did he say exactly?
I don't even remember. He told me like a month ago. I don't even remember.
Did it sound horribly cruel?
Yeah, it did. And I couldn't. I mean, if someone said something about my mom because she passed away.
You'd probably tell them to pull the car over when you get out of the car.
Well, they were at a
stoplight. Wouldn't beat the S out of them until they needed to be in the hospital.
Well, he was in the hospital.
That's my point. All right, so what's your question?
Okay, I don't know if I should stay with him or I should. I mean, if I do, I'm going to have to...
Are you having sex with him?
Yeah.
Well, and what is the law in Florida? Do we have that? Hey, Brian, can you guys look up on the law for statutory rape in the state of Florida?
Oh, it's probably 7 years difference, yeah.
Well, like 12 or something.
It might be 16. Maybe you're in some states it is 16. I don't know. Are you from Florida originally?
Yeah. I was born and raised.
All right. Yeah, obviously this is not a good thing for you. You're with a criminal who's violent, and you're underage. Let me sort of add up the tally here.
No. It's not.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That he may not be violent at this minute, and he may not have been violent to you yet, but in the negative column, those are the things that go in.
Well, that was only like one.
Crystal?
Yeah.
What if it had been a murder?
A murder? That would have been a little different.
Why? Oh, just one time.
Yeah, but...
Just one incident. What are you talking about? He's fine now. He hasn't killed me yet. I mean, come on. You're 16. He's 16. 23.
Okay,
it probably isn't good for him either. He's got to sneak around. He's worried about it all the time.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying, like, I want to still be with him and whatever. I mean, he...
Well, you can stop having sex. See what happens into the relationship.
Huh?
You could... I know it's a hard concept. You can stop having sex.
Uh-huh.
And then see what happens to the relationship. That's how you could protect him. Don't have a physical relationship with him.
Well, we've only had sex once, and we've been together for a few months. So.
All right, well, don't do it anymore.
Well, I can, okay, I can understand where you're coming from, but...
You said you wanted to protect him.
I do. I'm not, that's why, like, nobody knows.
Okay, well, don't have sex with him anymore. That would protect him.
Okay, but the whole, I have to, like, hide this from...
Well, you don't have to hide if you're not having sex with him.
But he's 23.
You're allowed to date people that are younger than, older than you. Not good for you. Again, criminal, why not, but...
Well, I mean, I've dated people older than me before.
I understand. It's not, and look where it's getting you, but be that as it may, it's not a good thing for you, but there's nothing against the law in terms of dating. But you can't have a physical relationship with him.
In Florida, it's not?
You can't have a physical relationship with him.
So I can just...
You can go out to dinner with him. You can spend time with him.
Yeah, well...
Okay, you want to protect him. Listen, Crystal, you're going down a path that you're going down, and obviously no one's going to be able to discuss this with you. It's your call. Deborah, 13.
I have a question, about, like, you know...
Deborah, how old are you?
13.
What's going on?
Well, this is just a question that popped into my mind because, I'm like at a.
Come on, spit it out there.
I'm like at this kind of stage in my life where I can't. Where I don't know if anybody had this stage, but my body's fighting with my mind because my body's telling me I'm ready to have sex, but I'm not. My mind is not.
Just do it!
But you're what? Your mind is what?
Not completely made up, so, like, if I ever do, I want to know, like, if I should, like, buy a certain kind of condom, like, if...
God bless you. Well, I think that battle rages inside every 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old. And the problem is with the males, they even have a more difficult problem, is because their body's decided they're going to have sex. They want to have sex, and they can't. It's even worse being a male. But in your case, you're trying to assess this and make a healthy choice, and it's tough. It is tough. But let me just tell you that although you feel like maybe you might be ready, and certainly there are parts of your body that are, and that you could have a baby, that's true. Your body's all set up to do that. The way development goes on in these days, the way we develop as human beings in the current society, our emotional development lags behind a ways. It just we need to be more dependent for a longer period of time in order to get the skills necessary to be able to be join the workforce and whatnot. And that creates a certain delay in our emotional development. As such, we are not ready to have sex until we're at least 16. It's not good for us under the age of 16.
Okay.
Even though your body's all set.
I know.
Now, the one great exception, well, not even exception, the great piece of news here is that you're showing some maturity beyond your years in planning the condoms and whatnot. And the best kind of condoms are brand names like Trojan or, I still have Ramses, those... Just the stuff you get in a pharmacy. Don't go the cheap brand, and don't go the colored stuff.
Okay.
The fancy, you know, the just standard stuff, basic stuff.
Yeah, weird textured kind.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And they're all pretty. I mean, every once in a while, Consumer Report puts out a report you can get on the web, and they tell you which are the best for the price and whatnot. But no colors, no texture, no fancy brands, not outside of a pharmacy, and you'll be fine, all right? But just wait in the meantime. It's God bless you for thinking this through, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I love Deborah. Markeisha?
Yeah.
19. What's up?
All right. This is the question.
Yeah.
I'm dating my boyfriend. His father is abusive to him, not to him, really, his mother. He beats his mother, and he's verbally abusive to his mother.
All right.
Verbally abusive to my boyfriend and his younger brother.
All right.
Okay. And then my father used to physically abuse me when I was younger.
Hmm.
And what I'm wondering is if his father's behavior, is it going to have any effect on him? Is it going to cause him to go and spiral into that kind of behavior when
maybe.
He gets older?
Higher risk than if he had not been exposed to that.
Because the thing is that I'm the one who brought myself out of the situation with my father because I stood up to him. And I told him that I wasn't going to be a victim anymore. I took control, and I settled everything with that.
Maybe the fact that you're with this guy is an okay thing. Maybe he's not a victimizer. You know? Maybe he's been a victim. Maybe he's more of the victim than the victimizer.
I think that's true, too, because he puts himself in bad relationships that he shouldn't be in.
Mm-hmm. And what's the quality of the relationship you have with him?
It's,
what's it like?
It's a great relationship. We're like best friends.
Do you ever kind of freak out and yell at him and stuff?
Oh, never.
Never. And are you calling the shots in the relationship for the most part?
No, it's 50-50.
Either of you doing drugs or alcohol?
He's done drugs before.
But nobody's doing this regularly?
No, but, well, he used to.
What were the drugs?
I know he smokes pot.
Every day?
No. Occasionally, party kind of thing.
All right, anybody
else?
And
then he's done acid and ecstasy. But I took him out of that situation. I told him that it wasn't acceptable for him to do that.
So you're rescuing him from all that, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of suspicious. But all right. Listen, he's 16, though, right?
Right.
Very interesting. There's nothing on the surface here that you're describing that's going to sort of be a catastrophe, okay? But you guys are both sort of still acting out a lot of the stuff from your family of origin, of course, which everybody does.
Right.
And you're going in and rescuing him. You're going to take care of him. And, you know, he may turn that around in some way that's not so pleasant. It's hard to say, but listen, things are working now. You're 19. He's 16.
Yeah, his father is somewhat bad-mouthing me to him. He doesn't know me. He's never met me.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes from a mixed background. His mother's Chinese and his father is Greek. Mm-hmm. And his father seems to be racist somehow. I don't know how that happened.
What are you?
I'm black.
And so he doesn't like all the mixtures here.
I don't know. He's telling him that he doesn't want him to get me pregnant and whatnot.
He wouldn't want you to be pregnant whatever color you were. And his dad has already proven himself to be a major dick, so don't listen to him too much. Travis, 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been having problems with my parents. Like, they're being controlling.
Right. That's sort of their job when you're 17.
Well, I think they need to start letting go a little bit. Because I'm at the point where I want to move out.
Yeah, but you can't.
I know.
All right. Well, have they abused you?
No.
They just ground you real easily.
Yeah, they just ground me, and it's hard to do stuff. I mean,
that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it hard for you to do stuff. What kind of stuff is it you want to do?
Yeah, but I'm not really doing anything to...
Well, what is it you want to be doing that you can't do?
Well, like...
Travis?
Born gay.
I'm sorry.
The life is too late.
Justin, 29.
I wanted to know what the medium to long-term effects of taking sleeping pills.
Which one?
About Somanex.
Somanex is just Benadryl. It's nothing.
Really?
Yeah, it's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It
mess with your prostate as you get older, but that's about it.
Okay, so there's no real problem if I continue to take them about.
It's diphenhydramine in there, right? If you look at the side of the box.
I don't have it in front of me.
All right, but that's Benadryl. I'm sure that's what it is. So.
Okay.
Nothing to worry about. All right?
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye. Grace, 18.
Hello?
Hey, Grace, what's up?
Okay, my question is...
Oh, boy, Gracie. Say the alphabet. Say it the way we said it in nursery school. A, B, C, D. Go ahead.
A, B, C, D.
6. What happened when you were 6?
6?
When you were 6.
I don't know.
Nothing?
Not really.
Your family didn't break up?
6, no.
How old were you when they did break up?
Oh, I was older, like maybe 14.
14.
Yeah.
What'd they break up over?
My dad cheated.
He cheated?
Yeah.
Did he ever do anything weird to you or your sisters? Or?
No.
Did anybody else ever do anything?
My brother.
Your brother abused you. How old were you when that started?
Like 9.
9. Okay. Mm-hmm. You sure it was 9?
Yeah.
Okay, so at 9, your brother started sexually abusing you.
Well, I was, like, molested before then, too.
How old were you when you were first molested?
I was little. I only remember, like, 2 things in particular that happened.
What happened?
It was with my babysitter's son.
Babysitter's son.
Mm-hmm.
And were you coming home from nursery school, kindergarten or something?
Well, she would take care of me and my
brother. After school?
No, that was before I started kindergarten.
Before kindergarten. So you were about 5.
Yeah.
Okay, so I missed it by a year.
Huh?
The point is, I could hear this in your voice. That's why.
Oh.
That's why I went down this path. And so you were sexually abused at 5, and then you were abused again by your brother. And we could get into what that was all about, which is, again, somebody must have done something to him. And then your dad was sort of a cheater, and he took it off. Family blew apart. And now this is like a recipe for sexual compulsion.
Well, my parents are back together.
What?
They're back together.
I understand, but you have not had treatment for what's called the implicit memory left behind by the abuse when you were a baby, when you were a child. And what we've noticed on this show is that when people get abused, women get abused under the age of 10, we can hear the voice of the child that you were at the time. It's like your voice stops evolving in addition to some of the emotional structures in your brain. And these kinds of over-arousing powerlessness, experience of powerlessness, hyper-arousal, sexually focused experience sort of wires your brain in a way that basically sends you down one of two paths. Either you become super sexually compulsive or you kind of avoidant of sex and sort of don't feel anything below your waist. Which direction did you go?
Probably the first one.
You're having sex a lot?
Not a lot. Not really.
What's a lot?
Well, I mean, well, yeah, I guess I am.
Okay. Do you like doing that?
No.
Do you want to keep doing that?
No.
All right. Then, Grace, get some treatment for this. That's really the only alternative. This isn't something that's going to stop by itself. If you throw in a family history of alcoholism, if you inherited that gene, then this will become addiction on top of that, and it really can be quite a devastating combination. Please understand that the behavior that's troubling you now is really just your brain looking for solutions to the trauma of the past, but those solutions are the problems. They are the problem that you're dealing with today. And you've got to be treated for that. And treatment works. It works. You don't have to live like this. All right. Well, listen. Again, I'm going to try to get through as many calls as possible tonight because I have the freedom to do so because I don't have my usual albatross, my usual encumbrance. Blah, 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 blah. I'm waiting.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, family history, blah, 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 football, high school, blah, 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 dad never made to a single game, lived in the house across the street from the high school, blah, 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 blah.
You keep tearing through calls like this, we'd have to get another screener in here.
Well, Lauren's sitting here. She can
do that. Another screen and more phones and everything.
That's good.
Things are smoking.
Is this working okay? It's different.
We're in.
It's just different. It's just different than Adam. So I'll try to be Adam Andrew tonight. I'll try to be a little bit of an a-hole, a little bit funny. And also give the goods. So it is Loveline. The number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I am Dr. Drew. Adam is away for tonight. He'll be back tomorrow night. And we'll be right back. Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew, flying solo tonight without Ace Corolla. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. It's such a relief. But thanks for listening tonight. We're going to go through lots of calls. And Anderson had actually a very good suggestion. He said to get into stuff that I normally wouldn't get into when he is here, which is a good point because the stuff I just don't have time to get into, or I'm so busy defending myself or trying to contain the direction
bah,
of the show.
Bah, bah, bah.
Yes, trying to contain the direction the show is going. The things I might not get into that I'll try to get into tonight. Hey, what's going on?
Hi. Is it Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Hi. I had a question regarding circumcision and what age it would not be safe.
I don't know that there's actually a cutoff for that. Okay. No pun intended. but I think at really any age, it's more painful after infancy and childhood, but I don't know of any age that you absolutely would not do it. And there are lots of things that can go on in the foreskin that can be kind of unpleasant and make it necessary. What's happening with you?
Here's the reason is it's great discomfort whenever I do get an erection. So
because the tip won't get through the stenosis?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, it doesn't seem to have enough room. So
can't peek out.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great reason to have a circumcision. It's a great reason to have gotten one when you were a child, just the fact that that happens commonly. It's just like, why go through that? Who needs it?
I feel there may be some anxiety before.
Because you're going to have pain.
Right, yeah. And
I'd be anxious too.
So, okay, so there's no age that's not safe.
No, I would go for John.
Okay, and how long does it take to heal after something?
It's a good, I'm not a surgeon, a urologist, but I believe it's 2 to 4 weeks. Certainly 2 weeks of pretty miserable discomfort. But
miserable?
Well, it's pretty, somebody's clipping your penis, for God's sakes.
Very good.
Not
okay.
Not Good times.
Drew, before I hang up, I wanted to thank you also for taking good care of my grandmother.
Oh, my God.
She's going to be 96 next month, and she's still smoking, despite your discouragement.
Is it Antonio?
Pardon?
Antonia?
Yes, Antonia.
Oh, my God. This woman, listen, David, thank you. She is an amazing woman, and she is a story I tell all the time. She has been moked. This woman is 90. She's 96 now?
She's going to be 96 next month.
And she does not look a day over 80. I mean, that sounds kind of weird, but it's true. She looks like she's about 80 years old. She gets around beautifully and has lived independently with her daughter, who's 70, and has been smoking 2 to 3 packs a day.
Since she was 14.
No. Since she was 8.
Oh, 8.
Since she was 8. And do you know why she started smoking cigarettes?
She never told me.
Because is it El Salvador she's from? No, she's from Venezuela where she was from, or?
Yeah.
She was in South America, and there was no food, and they were poor, and the mother started all the children smoking cigarettes to suppress their hunger.
Unbelievable,
isn't that amazing?
That story.
And she has, and she's the woman, the problem with Antonia is not that she has smoked 300 pack years of cigarettes, because for her, it's not made, she has no lung disease, no nothing, it's bizarre. But everyone on Earth now is going to point at her. Every other smoker is going to point at her and say, I know somebody that's 96, smoked 3 packs a day since she was 8.
She's why I smoke, because you always talk about her, and that's why I continue to smoke, because I know I can pull through.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's partially serious, yeah.
Let me, Anderson. I have seen no less than 10,000 smokers.
I know, it's really discouraging just now when you know exactly who he's talking about, because there's only one out there. You're like, oh, yeah, Antonio. Must
only
be
one. And I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands more. And none of them escape the consequence of cigarettes. None, zero, end of story.
I don't get paid enough here that I'll be able to eat. So when I get hungry, I just smoke.
She's a miracle of evolution. That's for
she
sure.
really is. We got to bottle whatever it is that she's got. But I won't mention her. It's your grandma, by the way, that we had this conversation. So
that's fine. I think she'll understand.
Take care.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Jessica 16.
Yeah?
Hi, Jessica. What's up?
I got a cartilage piercing, like an industrial piercing, you know?
No. What's an industrial piercing?
Well, you get 2 cartilage piercings, and then they eventually will put a bar through both of them.
I can't imagine this.
What?
What is it through? What part of the pinna, the ear?
Both of them.
Both ears?
No, through both piercings. It's in the same ear.
What part of the cartilage? You know, there's the tragus. The top up high. Okay, got it. All right, what's happening?
Okay. Well, it's hurting in, like, the inside of my ear. Like, it feels like kind of like an ear infection.
Yes. And is the ear red or swollen?
Not the piercing.
But down into the cartilage?
No, it's not.
See, these people don't understand this, that if you get infection in your cartilage, your whole ear can dissolve. And there's not much can be done about it. It is a disaster. It is not a very vascular area, and it is extremely difficult to get antibiotics in and the healing cells of your body into that part, into that region. And it just can be devastating. And it's near your brain. I mean, here you are, and you're describing it. Does it go down into your neck and your jaw area, too?
It hurts in my glands.
You have infection, and you've got to get taken care of. I would say go to the emergency room tonight.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, because when these infections get going, it can be a disaster. It's near your brain. Head and neck infections can be rapid and devastating. Now, forget just losing your ear. That's the easy part of this. It's true, Jessica. I'm not BSing you. I would prefer you not have to run out and go to the emergency room, but wait until morning. It could really become rip-roaring by then.
The actual, like, cartilage is not red at all.
Not yet. So that's a good sign, but you've got the descending evidence down into your neck. I mean, there's something going on. It's active.
And it's may, like, again,
fantasy, like, answer.
Yeah. Fantasy answer would be, no problem. Just get a couple more piercings in there and take a little, like, Vicodin kind of tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin, and it won't bother you.
No, it's like a... It's not like a, it's kind of a pulsing thing. It's not like a,
Jessica, you were trying to talk me into not wanting you to get antibiotics tonight. Okay? You're not going to be able to do it. There's nothing you can tell me that's going to change my opinion. Nothing. There are only things that are going to alarm me more. So you can do it or not do it. It is your choice. But God bless you. You got to do it by tomorrow. You got to do something by tomorrow. Okay. In the meantime, keep your head up. You need it to drain down towards the neck. And waiting could cost you your ear or your life. It could.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. It felt funny hearing thank you after that. All right, Colette, 29, what's up?
Hello.
Hi, Colette.
Hi. I was just calling to get your opinion on something.
Yeah.
I'm considering, I've been married about 10, well, not quite 10 years, but I'm considering having an affair. And
why?
I'm not happy, and I...
What's the problem with the marriage?
There's lots of things.
Okay. Like what?
I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore.
Did he do things to make you fall out of love?
Yes.
Like what?
Just berating me about my looks and my weight and...
Do you guys have kids?
Yes.
How many?
One.
And you've had trouble with your weight since the pregnancy?
Yes. And since we've had our daughter, I've had a couple of miscarriages and went into depression after that and, of course, gained more weight. And
are you on meds now?
Yes.
And during your depression, have you been kind of irritable and pushing him away a little bit?
Yes.
Any drug or alcohol involved with all this?
No, never.
With either of you?
Never, no.
Not with him either?
No.
Not drinking?
No.
Why do I think he drinks? He does not have alcohol every day?
No, never. Uh-uh. Well, maybe like wine twice a month with dinner.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So, I recently reconnected with somebody that I was friends with and sort of dated in the past. And, you know, I was just wondering about exploring that avenue.
What would you be hoping to achieve?
Just something different, someone who appreciates me for me, something exciting and different, and I don't really know.
What do you think that's going to do to your marriage?
I don't really care.
Do you want out of the marriage?
Well, sometimes I think I do, and then other times I look at our child, and I don't. I say, well, I can't. You know, how could you do this to your child?
So you feel that... It would be harmful to the child to split up. And do you take your marriage vows seriously? I mean, it's something you want to try to stick with for better or for worse?
On one hand, I do. On the other hand, I'm tired and feel like I should move on. But on the other hand, I don't.
Well,
on the other hand, it's easier for me to stay financially,
okay,
comfortably.
The way you're feeling is perfectly natural, right? You're disconnected from your husband. He's sort of abusive towards you. You're alone. You have this guy that likes you and sort of cherishes you and makes you feel good and whole again. And all you're getting is basically derision from your husband.
Yeah.
Naturally, that would push you towards someone else.
Correct.
But if, on behalf of this child, and if you take your marriage vow seriously, you want to dig in and try to salvage this marriage, the direction you're going is the wrong direction.
I yes, think that's what you're going to say.
Well, you're looking, you might as, you know, it's the equivalent of asking me if I smoked heroin, would I feel better? Yeah, you'd feel better. You'd feel better. But the solutions you're finding now make the problems bigger. And I think what you ought to do, listen, the thing that people have a problem realizing the fact that treatment works. And that if there is a potential for this marriage to be salvaged in the hands of a good professional, it can be salvaged and you can be happy and things can work out again. But trying these kinds of desperate lifesaver maneuvers, you know, trying to find a hostage or a lifesaver to make you whole and okay,
mm-hmm,
those solutions are non-solutions.
I've found that as I've been in therapy and on medications and coming out of this dark depression and funk that I've been in, I'm sort of finding a different person. And I don't know if this person is the same person that 10 years ago got into this marriage. I feel like if I would have been on meds 10 years ago, I would have made a different decision.
That's true, but you didn't. And the data on this suggests that people who get divorced aren't happier after divorce. Okay? As if I could show you, if I knew of data that said, oh, yeah, that's your road to happiness, I'd say go, that's probably the way to go. But it's not the case. And marriages all change. People change during the course of marriage, and you have to be willing to work on that. And both of you grow and then find a new level of reconnection. And his reasons for being apart from you, he expected something different from marriage, too, and he's got to come to terms with some things, and he has to change.
Yeah, I don't know if he can change.
Well, or if he's not willing.
In his personality to be the way he is.
I understand, but if he's not willing to, and if it's no possibility of improvement, then that's when you think about moving out of this and moving in that direction that you're headed. But in the meantime, I would suggest you give this a chance. Are we about due for a break here, Anderson? I'm going to take one more call. One more call. Here we go. Christo's 20.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey. So I got a problem with ejaculation, all right?
All right.
So, like, when I bust a nut, right?
When you, yeah?
It actually...
When you ejaculate, cum, bust a nut. Uh-huh. Okay, got it.
Well, anyways, it takes a while for me to get the rest of it out. Like, I'll get the primary out, I don't know.
Primary, ejaculate, cum, bust. Yeah,
out, and then, like, it'll take a while for me to get the rest out. I, like, have to, like, force it out, like with my hand, like, kind of force it out, like...
Why do you feel it necessary to push out what remains behind?
I don't know, because it, like, I can feel it in there, you know?
It's uncomfortable for you.
Yeah, it is.
And why is it a problem that you have to squeeze it out? What does it bother you?
I don't know. Is that normal?
Like, yes, ejaculation is not like urinating.
No?
It's not like there's a muscle that you can squeeze and push out the remainder. It kind of has to, some of it has, for most men, it kind of has to leak out or be kind of pushed out.
It takes like a couple minutes for it to happen, you know?
Yeah, that's
so
normal.
Is that normal?
And if you just left it alone, it would kind of come out on its own.
Yes, but it would take a little longer. I know when I'm like really, when I get like really into it, or like when I have sex, I know that it all shoots out, you know? But when I don't, when I'm not really into it, when I like might just like jerk off or something, it happens and it stays there.
Yeah,
like,
it's all a function of how strong the muscular contractions are associated with that. But Christo, you're just fine. Everything's good. All right, we're going to take a break. It is Love Line, the phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. As you hear, Adam is away tonight. He'll be back tomorrow night. He is off in the Bahamas with the final man show party or event.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever, exactly. He'll be back with Ace and his blah, 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 blah tomorrow night. When we get back after the break, we're going to talk to Brian, who's 16. No, he's 19. 16-year-old girlfriend wants to have a threesome with his male friend. Will that work? We'll see. Line. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam's away. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get right to calls. This is Brian, who is 19. Brian.
Hey.
What's up?
I know how you feel about threesomes.
No. Brian, here's the reality how I feel about threesomes. I wish they were good for us.
Right.
I'm a male, too. I wish they were good. I wish they were they helped relationships. They made them healthier. In fact, I'd recommend five partners.
I'd recommend five partners. I think it'd be the greatest thing. Yeah. We have multiple. Maybe, why not? Be safe. Have multiple partners.
Fantastic. The human reality is, though, it's a disaster for a relationship. And that's just the reality. I'm just reporting what happens. So what's your deal?
But I've got different circumstances.
Oh, yeah, you're different. Yeah,
of course.
Okay. So,
all right, what's different? It's my friend, and he just got a transfer with his work, and in a month he's going to be moving away, so
yeah.
There would be no way for them to get together. Is it still going to be bad?
No, by the way, if you don't care about the relationship, it's just a matter of making sure nobody gets pregnant or any diseases.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Then it's like, it's 20-year-old, you know, experimentation.
Right. But there would be no way for them to hook up.
Tell me the story. What's the situation?
All right, well, he just got a transfer with his work, and she was like, well, since he's gone, we should, like, bid him farewell.
Oh, she wants him to be brought into with two of you?
Yeah.
Oh, she's only 16. What's going on with her?
All right, so you both want to break the law?
Huh?
You both want to break the law?
No. Yeah,
I would think if you would be putting yourself really in harm's way in terms of potential legal circumstances that you're putting yourself in with two guys, A. B, she won't hook up with him. That's not necessarily the source of bad outcome in these sorts of experiences.
Then what's the problem, Adam?
Just you watching him bang her will be emblazoned in your head. You'll never forget it. You'll never forgive her. You'll freak out every time you think about it. The relationship will never be the same.
Not the high horse. I wonder what the hell that was. No, it's just that's just it, Brian. Go ahead. Do as you please. Elizabeth, 16.
Hi. Okay, I have this thing where I really don't want to have anything to do with the guy's penis. I mean, I have a boyfriend, and I love him, and I want to explore things sexually with him. And, I mean, I'm a virgin, and I've done things with him where, like, I let him touch me and I let him finger me, but I don't, when it comes time for me to do things for him, I don't want to touch him. I don't want to see it.
I'm just trying to decide where to go with this. Now, you want to do sexual things with him, right?
I have, like, fantasies, and I feel like if it came the time, like, if I had a chance, like, I would want to have sex with him. But
well, you know, I got to tell you something, Elizabeth. Having sex with a boy will involve the use of his penis.
Yeah. I figured that. See, that's my problem.
Okay.
I mean, he's not a virgin. He's actually pretty experienced. And he's not pressuring me. That's not my problem.
How old is he?
Will be 18 this month.
So he may be pressuring you to kind of slip this in before his birth. You know, it doesn't actually matter. Well, no, you'll actually be okay. You're in California. So he's within 3 years of your, or 2 years, I guess it is in California, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I think.
Do you want to know why you're terrified? What are you musing about here? What's the question?
I don't. I kind of like what how I can do to get over it. I kind of walked in on my dad.
Mm.
And, like, because he was, like, changing. My dad's kind of a big guy, and, like, I kind of saw his, and it kind of, like, freaked me out, and it really grossed me out, and I just.
How old were you?
I was. Well, my dad and I used to wrestle when I was little. So, like, once when I was 12, because it kind of came out of his pants. And then once I walked in on him dressing, and I was, like, 13 or 14.
How about when you were little? Anything else weird happen when you were growing up?
Because
It sounds like you're already kind of very sensitive by the time you're 13 or 14. It's like any visions of peni, and you were flipped out.
No, my mom used to go to AA meetings, and I have these, it's not that, because that has nothing to do with it, but I think I have not visions, but they're more like memories, that I think her sponsor used to touch me and my sister when we were little.
Wow.
When he used to babysit us.
He? You know, you never have a sponsor that's the opposite sex. Ever.
Well, see,
already there was a disturbed situation there.
I'm not quite positive if it really happened, or maybe
it makes sense. Listen, any male that would call himself a female sponsor is suspect already. And
but
then
he didn't, like, make any moves on my mom or anything.
I'm just telling you, it's a disturbed situation when somebody offers themselves as a sponsor and they're not the same sex as the individual they're sponsoring. That person is suspect.
So him and my mom are really close friends.
Currently?
Actually, they're still really good friends, but they just haven't talked in a while because my mom doesn't usually go to her meetings anymore.
Well, it's a male sponsor is not okay. And I suspect your memory probably is accurate, because the degree of this sort of phobia suggests that something very intense happened when you were younger. And you might, you know, I don't know if you necessarily want to bring this up with your mom, or if it's something that you want to try to get through with your boyfriend. It's something that you might sort of eventually get over. I'm not encouraging you at 16. Take your time. This may actually end up being a good thing. It may protect you from getting yourself in trouble in other ways until you're 17, 18, you're in a stable relationship and can sort of ease into things with this. And that's actually what I recommend you do. But if you can't get over it, you know, this trauma still sort of stays with you. That might be time for treatment. Mike, 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm having a little bit of a problem. Yeah. About, like, 2 weeks ago, I started, like, when my girlfriend would go down on me, I'd hold back so that I could last longer and keep it going longer. And now it's like when I try to come, I can't.
Hmm. How many times has this happened?
Maybe like four or five.
Four or five times. And you are not ever able to ejaculate no matter what?
Yeah, like earlier today, like I just couldn't. I don't know why. Like,
and there was no way, not just during oral sex, but no matter what happened, it wouldn't
yeah.
go. Are you on medication?
No.
Not anything else going on right now?
Nothing.
Well, that's weird, huh?
Yeah.
It's like you tricked your nuts, and they're gonna they're like getting back at you.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you? Mike, I know of no specific syndrome that's associated with that. I mean, the fact that you can have some control is a good thing. why it sort of things shut down now. I'm sure things will come again, so to speak, if you give it a little time. And maybe, maybe masturbation to sort of get things back again.
All right.
And don't worry, it's going to come back. There's no way that's going to go away forever, unless you're on some medication that can block it for sure. Jennifer, 23.
Oh, yes. I had a question about my boyfriend had asked me to marry him, and I have this big old fear of commitment because I've been a widow for 7 years.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You got married when you were 16?
I got married really young. I got married when I was 13.
Oh, my God.
And
why?
Because I had gotten pregnant, and our parents, it was an arranged marriage, basically.
All right, all right. Hold on. I want to hear more about this. We actually have to go to break. Yeah, no kidding. So, again, we will be back with Jennifer after the break. This is Loveline, the phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. It is Dr. Drew flying solo tonight. Adam will be back tomorrow, and we will be back after the break. Hey, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. And, well, you know, I was talking, was he high? I mean, what is up with him?
It was more, well, see, I'm Native American, so it was more like of a traditional background.
I see. Okay.
So
all
like
right.
You can have a child without,
all right, gotcha.
Being married.
Got it. Suddenly it makes sense. All right. So. And what happened to your ex-husband?
He had passed away when he was 16 in a car accident. And it wasn't like our marriage was actually, it wasn't great or anything.
It wasn't much of a marriage.
Yeah, because, we were really young, and then as we started getting older, we grew into different people, and it kind of took its toll on between us. So
yeah, of
basically
course.
We were together because of the, our son.
Yeah, of course.
So,
and
but
now you're afraid to get married for fear of...
For fear of going through the same thing and then watching my mother, because my father had an affair with another lady.
So you're afraid you're going to be with a guy who's also unfaithful.
Yeah.
You're afraid you're going to be with a guy who...
All right.
Well, here's the interesting thing about instincts when you've been around an abusive dad who cheats, is that the guy you want to marry is going to be the guy that's the abuser and the one that cheats. And the one that you have suspicions about and want to sabotage and not marry,
uh-huh,
or not sure you should marry, that's probably the guy that's going to be faithful.
Okay.
So just think along those lines, and maybe you'll make a good decision. Lonnie, 21.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
I'm good, Lonnie. What's going on?
I can't get an orgasm.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible.
They're just sold out now?
I don't know.
Wherever you go, you can't find one?
Yeah, I can't get one. I'm 21.
Damn.
And I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years, and we just recently broke up, and I can't get one. And he tries. We do all kinds of different positions.
Well, now, most 21-year-old females do not orgasm during intercourse. In fact, it'd be rare.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what else have you tried besides intercourse?
Nothing really. No toys. I was just wondering, what's the best way for me to go about trying to get one?
To get
yeah.
To get yourself one? Masturbation is a way, but most women your age, masturbation sort of doesn't make sense. It's not the same as it is for a male. It's something that needs to include a feeling of intimacy or some sort of experience that at least activates the part of your central nervous system that gives you a feeling of intimacy. So for some women, it's about creating a time and a space with, like, flowers or candles and warm running water, this sort of thing. Running water is key. The bathtub, the spigot, the water coming out of the bathtub, think about that as something running over the clitoris as potentially being able to stimulate you. But more importantly, being able to find that sort of emotional space that allows your sexual arousal to sort of evolve naturally. And for many women, it doesn't make sense by oneself. You need another person in order to kind of feel that way, in order to have that happen. Unfortunately, many 19, 20, 20-year-old guys can't help you. Them just being there is not quite enough. And most women your age are having orgasm, if at all, during oral sex only.
Okay, but I will get one, right?
You will get one, I bet.
He's telling me that I'm like, there's something wrong with me and I'm not going to be able to get one.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Yeah, I think the way, you're going to get one, but I would stop thinking about it as something that you get, like a Letterman's jacket or something, or a flu, or something you got to run out and get.
She can ask Santa.
Like Santa, ask Santa. Santa, see what Santa can get you. Yeah, nice.
Hey, Drew, I never told you this, but a friend of mine who heard about that method in the bathtub.
Yeah.
On this show.
Yeah.
She tried it a few years ago, threw her legs up there and threw her back out, and she got stuck in that position, and she was home alone.
Oh, my God, that is very funny.
And she actually comes in here sometimes, but...
I'm sure she's delighted that
she
did.
Yeah,
story.
She was terrified.
There aren't that many. There are not that many females that come in to visit you, so we'll, each... Every single one now, though, I'm going to be assessing. Is that the one?
She was stuck with her legs in the air.
I'm going to check her posture. Did it work?
No, she was in a horrible pain.
I mean, she was there for a long time.
No, she was in horrible pain. She didn't get one. She was straining and trying to get herself.
I guess a reasonable direction would be, if you have lumbar disc disease, if you're known to have back problems, maybe not engage in this contortionist behaviors. But Lana, yeah, don't think of it as something you have to grab and get. It's something that happens, and it will happen to you. Okay.
Okay.
Especially with your fortitude, your intention, your drive to get it. Georgia, 22.
Yeah. What's up? Okay, here's my problem. I just moved out here from Georgia, or whatever, yeah. My name's Georgia, same thing. Anyways, I have a problem cheating. I can't help but cheat in every relationship.
So, why? Why can't you stand intimacy?
I don't know. Like, I've been in a bunch of really long relationships.
But you had to sabotage them. If they get too close, it's uncomfortable. You have to make sure that you're in control, that there's enough distance there, that you don't feel vulnerable. Why? Your dad leave?
No. Like, I had an amazing childhood, a great childhood. That's what I don't understand. Like, I don't know. My parents are still together. They've always been together. They're great parents. I had a really normal, good childhood growing up. But, I mean...
No one ever physically abused you? No one ever lifted a hand or an object to hit you?
No, I mean, I did have one boyfriend who did get physically abusive with me.
But did your parents ever do that to you?
No, never.
No. How old were you when you had the boyfriend that did that?
We were together 2 years before he started doing that.
How old were you?
When he started doing it, I was 19 when he started putting 19. His hands on me. But I was cheating on him, like, way before then.
Are you doing drugs or alcohol?
No. I mean, a long time ago, I think I smoked pot for about 6 months, and I never really cared too much about alcohol. I don't even drink at all now, but I've been out here about 4 months. I've been dating this guy 3 months since I've been out here, and I really, really like him. And I've been constantly trying not to cheat on him because he's a really great guy, and I've been really successful with it, but then I went home to Georgia to visit, and I cheated on him, and I come back, and for the first time out of, like, all the relationships I've ever been in, for the first time I felt horribly guilty about it. And I told him, and I was extremely fortunate.
Why did you tell him?
You really
need to sabotage these relationships, don't you? You have to.
Sabotage it?
Yeah.
What?
You can't stand the fact this is working out with a good guy. You've got to push him away. And the fact that you cheated and he didn't know about it was too much for you. You had to tell him you cheated to make sure he knew about it, to make sure you couldn't sustain this intimacy.
Well, I wasn't going to tell him about it. And then, like, I didn't want him to know about it at all. And then he could tell something was wrong. He could tell by, like, the way I was acting. And I seemed really distant from him. So then he just straight up asked me. He was like, you know, you did, would you cheat on me or something? So what's going on? And I tried to lie to him about it. And he could just, like, look at me until I was lying. And then he kind of put a guilt trip on me. And then for finally, I was like, okay, yeah, I cheated on you. I'm sorry. And then so we broke up. And then I kind of pathetically crawled back to him. And I got him back. And I really, really don't want to cheat. I really don't want to. But it's
are you sure that you should be in relationships at all at your age? I mean, you're pretty young. You're 22. Maybe this is just not for you at this point in your life.
I don't know.
Maybe you should just be dating. Maybe you shouldn't be trying to commit to somebody.
Yeah, I did a whole dating thing for a while, too, and just got bored. I don't know. I'm really, really fickle. I can't exactly ever figure out what I want, not in just relationships, but just in life. I mean, I just, like, kind of up and moved Georgia to California for no particular reason. I can't get satisfied with anything in my life, no matter how good it is. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah. Alcoholism and drugs.
No alcohol or drugs.
Well, there's nothing specific about what you told me so far that I can sort of enlighten you in any way that would be accurate. But maybe this is just part of the growing up process for you. Maybe just part of your searching. It does sound like you may be trying to manage a depression. Do you tend to be kind of depressed?
No, I went through a depression when I was a lot younger, mm-hmm. but not in a while.
Eating disorder?
No, not really.
What does that mean?
I've always been really, really self-conscious about my weight, even though I've never been over 130 pounds.
Yeah. Do you vomit or use laxatives, anything like that?
A while back, I did the whole exercise thing, maybe about 2 years ago. I only did it for, 2 months.
Did the what thing? X-Lax?
Yeah. But that didn't work too well, so I've been on diet pills for, 2 years.
Oh, what are you taking?
Hydroxycut.
What's that?
It's diet pills. It works great. It's just called hydroxycut. It's supposed to be, all natural and everything.
Well, all natural. Has it got Ma Wang in it?
Has it got what?
Ma Wang? Ephedra? I mean, you may be basically taking speed here. That may be the whole situation. I mean, it just sort of smacks a little bit of some addictive process, the fact that you were feeling empty and restless and bored.
Yeah, it does have that word. Yeah, it has it.
That's what addicts do. They're always needing more action, more arousal, something, because if they sit alone, they're going to start feeling depressed. And if you're using, you see ephedra in there?
No, it says Ma Wang.
Ma Wang. That is ephedra. That is speed. So you're kind of, how much is you taking?
I take altogether in one day 4.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically strung out. Does anybody have alcoholism in your family?
Alcoholism runs big time in my family.
All right, well, Georgia, that's what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with addiction. And
diet pills, and that's what has to do with my relationship problems.
I know this doesn't make sense to you, but as somebody that deals with alcoholics every day of my professional life, this is a real typical kind of a pattern for alcoholics. Are you taking any other pills? You ever taking pain pills or sleeping pills, anything like that?
No. I hate pain pills and sleeping pills. I had a grandmother be addicted to those and die because of those.
Any pot or anything else you're using?
No, nothing.
Any history of, do you ever use speed or cocaine?
Never touched it.
Okay. Well, you've got to get off the Ma Wang here. You really need...
So I have to get off diet pills?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, that sense of emptiness and that need for arousal and that need for never being satisfied, that is that addictive impulse. And listen, if you want to be okay in this relationship, and you may feel awful when you stop these pills. You may actually need to get involved in some treatment in order to manage getting off them. But, yeah, that's my advice. Jennifer, 22.
Hi. I have a question.
Yeah.
I went on vacation with my boyfriend and his parents and some of their friends for a week last month. And my boyfriend and I had, a major fight because he was not paying any attention to me and I was getting, jealous. And I was being selfish and I'm willing to admit that.
Where'd you go on the vacation? You're willing to admit it. Where'd you go on the vacation?
We went up to Nevada, up to one of the lakes up there off the Colorado River.
And what do you mean he wasn't paying attention to you? What was he paying attention to?
My boyfriend was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and one of his buddies from the Marine Corps also went with us. And so it was kind of like I was the third wheel. And I offered, originally when it was decided that his friend was going to go, I offered to not go because I knew his friend was going. I knew he'd want to spend time with him and all that stuff. And my boyfriend was like, no, go, please.
Now be realistic here. How would you have reacted if he went, look, thanks for suggesting that. Why don't you not go?
I probably would have been irritated, but not...
Irritated? You would have... effing freaked out.
Yeah, but not as bad as I got when he...
All right, but that's why he didn't tell you the truth, Jennifer.
Then explain also why 2 weeks later, I go, or no, 2 days later, I go down to his house, he invites me to go to the beach, and then uninvites me to that, too. I mean, I don't understand where he's coming from, but my question is not about that. He and I have resolved it. We've decided, we need to back off a little, maybe, not take the relationship down a notch, so on and so forth. And we're both accepted with that, and we both agree on that. My question is, now his parents are involved in this whole thing, and they used to like me, and now they think that,
What did you do in front of them? What happened?
We argued, I mean, more what they're upset about is they say I involved other people in our argument.
What exactly happened?
We would argue over, I don't know, I told him he was a jerk, and he was being a jerk around his friend, and his mom overheard me say that, and just other stuff, I mean, to me, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, what I said wasn't a big deal. I wanted to make my point known to him, but his parents now think that I'm completely the wrong person for him. He and I don't think that.
Well, if I were his parents, I think so, too.
Well, but my question is, should I apologize to them? I mean,
I don't think it will matter. I think after you become abusive to their son,
Well, at the same time, I mean, it's not. I'm willing to admit that it was partially my fault, but at the same time, it was his as well.
Unfortunately, there's.
I understand they're not going to see that point.
There's never a justification for being abusive. That's it. Period. Once you become abusive, that's it. You've relinquished all opportunity for explanation. That's it. That's it. You're being abusive, and it's unfair, and it's not okay, and there is no explanation that justifies it. And any parent that has a decent set of sort of instincts about their children will hear that and urge their children to get away from that person, and I'm sure that's what they're doing. Roxanne, 24.
Hi. I have a situation where I guess when I have an orgasm, I laugh, and it kind of throws the whole situation off. It just kind of throws the mood off.
You guffaw? I mean, what do you mean? Like you giggle?
Yeah, it's like a giggle, like a testicle or something.
Can you imitate
it? Just
to understand how it would feel to someone who was hearing this. What does it sound like?
Like something like just laughing, like a joke was told or something.
Right afterwards.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, a lot of women do that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because look, it honestly, it throws everything off, and my boyfriend's like, "What's wrong? What's going on?"
Do you orgasm?
And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I don't know. It just made me laugh.
Does he orgasm real quickly? Do you orgasm real quickly, and so he's still not done?
Yeah, I do quickly.
Do you have multiple orgasms?
No.
Just one, and it's during intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sort of breaking his concentration.
I think so. Yeah, and I do it fast, but it's like, I don't know. It just throws the whole situation off, and I thought that it might not be normal.
Well, no, it's fine.
He's just kind of like, well, what's going on? Well,
he's super sensitive. I mean, that's ridiculous. Come on. The problem, though, the real source of the problem, though, is that he sort of breaks his concentration. He thinks you're sort of laughing at him, and he's got his game face on.
Uh-huh.
And maybe
there's another problem behind that, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other situation would be that after I have an orgasm, then it's like almost painful to keep going. So then laugh.
Which is
then
normal.
I'm not going anymore. So I'm almost.
Why don't you really work at sort of the timing here? Why don't you bring him right to the edge by some other means, and then he'll be much quicker?
How would I do that?
Well, use your imagination. Do I have to be.
Do you mean just. Because I can't really control it myself. If it just happens, it just happens.
No, I understand, but you need to get him to the point that he's almost there before you engage in intercourse.
Right? Okay.
Wait, let me use your imagination. Think of the things you might be able to do to
him. Before I have the orgasm, before we even start.
Yes, get him.
Oh, so that way he'll get done faster.
Right. Get him right to the edge and then have intercourse.
Okay.
Jeez. I need one of those John Madden style chalkboards. You know, like a little play by play thing, a little
radio.
Grease. Oh, that's right, radio.
Have you ever been with one of these girls that laughs during sex, Cedra?
Have I?
Yeah.
During? No, not during.
Yeah, during sex, the end of sex.
And the end is a pretty common thing.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm really glad because I felt like I was just all alone, and I thought there must be something wrong with me.
No, his serotonin levels surge in there, and the laughter is sort of a normal kind of giggly laughter. Sort of, if you were like guffawing in his face, I'd wonder what that was about. Sort of get away kind of laugh, but
no,
it's just sort of, right. That's awful.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, another satisfied customer. Thank you, Kendra, 21. Kendra.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm good. What's going on?
I don't have a sex drive anymore.
What happened to it?
Well, I had my daughter in April of 2001.
That can do something to it.
But that was a long time ago.
April 2001, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I was on the shot, but I took the last shot in February. I wanted to get off of it.
Shot will shut you down. It will.
For
it can.
How long?
Well, for quite some time. I would suggest that. Are you menstruating normally now?
No, I have no. That's another question I want to ask. I have not had a period since I got pregnant.
Yeah, you probably what most doctors would do would be to put you on the birth control pill with estrogens.
I've been on the pill.
Which pill?
I was on the pill, Elise.
Elise, right.
I actually got pregnant while on that pill, and I took it normal. I know it's very rare, but I did.
Yeah, but your problem with sex drive has been since the pregnancy.
But when I'm on the pill, I'm with the extra estrogen. I'm so, like, moody all the time. Everything makes me cry, and I'm just like, I just don't like the effects of it. And I don't like the effects of the shot because it does the opposite. Like, I don't care about anything. I have no sex drive.
That's interesting. But the environment, the hormonal environment your body lives in right now is different than it was before you got pregnant. So now going on the pill may not have quite that same effect. And maybe it's the particular pill you were taking. You might be able to find something that's more effective for you. Okay?
Could you suggest anything that maybe doesn't have as much?
Try the triphasic pills for some people that react the way you do can help with the sex drive. Why not? You're not on any other medication?
No medications at all.
Any relationships going okay?
Well, that's having a toll on the relationship. And
yeah.
But besides that,
are you still breastfeeding?
No. I stopped. My daughter actually weaned herself when she was about 8.5 months.
What'd you say about the past?
We went through some things my freshman year in college, and he did a lot where he just turned 21 and he wanted to get out and do his own thing. And I don't know. I had a big problem with it because he was kind of like lying to me.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's still having an effect where I don't want to be intimate with him.
No, I think this is mostly biology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get back. I think the birth control pill will be the answer for you. I bet you. I've seen it be the answer for people. All right.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Especially that first year after pregnancy, really things can shut down. Then, Katie, 14.
Hi. I don't know what to do about my ex-boyfriend. I like him a lot.
You do like him a whole lot.
Yeah. He's going out with my best friend.
He's going out with your best girlfriend.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
How long ago did you break up with him?
A month. I only broke up with him because my best friend was totally in love with him, and she couldn't stand seeing us go out.
Oh, my God. And then she went ahead and just took him up?
Yeah, she went ahead and just totally went out with him.
What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. Well, I knew she was going to ask him out, but I don't know. Now I just can't stand seeing them together.
Oh,
and
wow.
I went and kissed him today a lot.
And what does he want to do?
He doesn't like her more than a friend, but he's a total wimp, and he's a scaredy cat, and he has a fear of dumping girls, so he will not dump her.
Why do you want to be with a wimp?
That's the only thing I don't like about him, though. Yeah. He's just...
Okay, here's the best I can come up with this, is that everyone needs to be honest about their feelings. And if the reality is that you really like him and he really likes you and he doesn't really like her, if that's reality, he shouldn't be with her just out of pity and sympathy. That is not fair to her.
That's what he told me he was
Well,
doing.
If but that's true, yeah, who knows, because he has trouble being honest and whatnot. He needs to decide what he's going to do, and then you guys need to accept it. Unfortunately...
Yeah, now I don't know if he's telling the truth, though.
Listen, he's got to make up his mind. His actions will tell you what the truth is. But in the meantime, this is going to take quite a toll on your friendship, and you're going to have to do a lot of talking with her, and it's going to take some time. You and the friend may need a little time apart to let things kind of cool down. Someday, you and your friend will laugh about this, because 14-year-old relationships look pretty funny when you're 20. It's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm having a great night without Adam, and he'll be back tomorrow night, and we'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Now, shall we go for a 21-year-old who's had a brown discharge for 3 days after lots of sex, or... 32-year-old who wants to go out with a 17-year-old. Peanut gallery?
The latter.
Okay, that's good. Here is Rich. He's 32. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's going on with you?
Oh, well, for one thing, your guys' show is awesome.
Thank you, sir.
And second is, I met a 17-year-old, and I'm 32.
Yeah.
And I want to know if I can get in any trouble. I'm in Michigan.
Do we have that? Wait. I think I know where that is. Hold on. We have got that written.
You
down.
Had it last time.
Yeah, I think it's over here. Hold on. Give me a second here. Where is this?
Michigan 16.
Legal agent consent. I do have it. Hold on here. Azerbaijan, Haiti, Iraq. I've got everything, but not by state.
It's 12.
Is that crazy? Here we are. Got it. All right, got it. This is maybe a little outdated. This is Age du Consent Manoeuvre. Okay, Michigan. 16.
16.
Yep.
Right.
That's what it
I
says.
Memorized them all.
You scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16. As revised April 2001. 16. So there you go.
So I can't get no trouble at all for that.
Male-male. In the state of Michigan, it's illegal to have male-male sex. It says here.
It's not male-male.
It's illegal to have female-female sex. Isn't that weird? I understand that, but I mean, it's actually against the law. Wild. All right, so you're not technically breaking the law, but you are doing something potentially harmful to a 17-year-old. 32 and 17 does not mix. Rich, come on. The whatever she's getting out of this is some sort of acting out, some sort of there's something that's not about the relationship, it's not about you, that she's getting something out of it, because the reality is she's in a completely different place in her life than where you are. And right. The expectations, the sense of what's happening in the relationship, everything's completely different from her point of view as opposed to yours. So, yeah. I mean, you're kind of a bad guy does this. You know, you're twice her age.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't want to be that.
Well, she's kind of pursuing me. I haven't gone after her or nothing.
You know what? I've just finished a book. I just wrote a book, and it's going to be called Utter Hell. And you're going to see it on bookstores in the spring. And the reason you're going to like it, you're going to notice it because the cover is from a Hieronymus Bosch painting about hell. And I talk in it about what women do to men. What's so funny?
Well, I'm not laughing.
Somebody's laughing in there. Anyway, but talking about what women do to men and what it means when they... What is that?
Oh, it's my child.
How old is he?
Two.
Two. My goodness. I mean, you have a baby, too. You don't want to be... Where's the mom?
She has to work in the morning, so I'm on my way home. I just picked him up.
Is it your wife?
My ex-wife.
All right. The point is that when a 17-year-old is doing something evocative with a 32-year-old, it means something about the 17-year-old. And what 17-year-olds need when they behave like that is boundaries and somebody to actually tune into what it is they in fact need. And I evaluate in this book what patients do to doctors. What women that have all kinds of crazy needs do to physicians and try to evoke from them, and what you have to do to put a boundary down and to listen to what it is they actually need, not to just gratify your urges in the moment. It's not good for her. You don't want to be that guy. Andrea, 33. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. I've been in a relationship about 10 months.
Yeah?
And from the very get-go, I think our second date, I had said I wouldn't live with him or anyone for that matter before I got married, so he knew that my intent someday was to be married.
But now you're living with him?
No, okay. Just that he'd been married before. His wife had cheated on him. She was 25.
Yeah.
Cheated with a 17-year-old. Mm. And it was probably a 7-8 month affair, as far as I understand.
Nice.
Yeah, classy girl. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's since remarried. It was 6, I think he's been divorced 6 years. Mm-hmm. And
how old is he now?
He's 37.
All right, what's up?
Basically, just Memorial Day, we were talking, and he basically said, I don't ever want to get married. And earlier in February, we sort of had a DTR, define the relationship. And
A what?
A DTR.
What's that?
Define the relationship.
DTR. DT.
Yeah.
I love that. Is that, I got to write this down. Is this your thing, or is this lingo that I'm just catching on to?
I don't know. I don't think it's completely unfounded, but
DTR. All right, some sort of resuscitation maneuver. All right.
He's a paramedic, so that's kind of funny. But anyway.
So he doesn't want to ever get married as of Memorial Day.
That's what he said. So then Memorial Day, I said, well, then I guess there's my answer. I'm out of here because I did want to be married someday, and I don't, you know,
all
I
right.
care for him. I love him, but
fair enough.
That was enough.
There you go.
Then he started hemming and hawing, and, well, we'll see, you know, let me, whatever, actually he's a firefighter going through paramedic school. So anyway, he's hemming and hawing, and I finally said I'd had enough. But I guess I'm just curious. Every person that he's been involved with, either since or even friends, have sort of screwed him. So trust issues are, I guess, they're an issue. And I feel like I'm just another person in line, abandoning him when things get tough. So is there, I mean,
I told him he had till the 11th of August to decide whether or not he wanted to even consider getting married. I'm not asking for a date. I'm not asking for, you know.
And what did he say what is he saying? Is he giving you a hint which direction he's going now?
Well, he said, it feels like a lose-lose situation. I don't want to lose you. I want you in my life.
Here's the thing about men and marriage, generally. Yeah. What they say is what they mean.
That's what I said.
That's it. Yeah, and they will go back and forth and have trouble sort of carrying through on what they mean. You know, it's very unpleasant for them sometimes, especially when they lose somebody they really care about and they're having, you know, a good physical relationship with. It's very unpleasant. But when it comes to marriage, you can't mold them into something. You can't force them. They say, I'm not ready. That means they are not ready.
That's what I told them. I said, you know, I go, what do you expect me to work for? You said you didn't want to get married.
Really, Andrea, the ball is in your court. You're kind of the one that's hemming and hawing here. You keep giving him enough to sort of connect with him and make him feel like he's got it back, and then you're kind of withdrawing it from him. That's painful. You need to cut it off. You really do. You're in that intermediate zone with him. You're the one that needs to cut it off. Cut it off. If while he's away from you, he suddenly decides he's in 100%.
Yeah.
Let him come on back 100% with a commitment and a time frame. Otherwise, get on with your life.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I have one quick question. It's with regard to radial nerve damage. I was wondering, I'm a flight attendant, and I jammed my thumb, ended up, it goes numb, and shooting pain, it feels like the skin is tearing.
It feels like the skin is tearing.
Sorry?
The skin actually tears, or it feels like
it? No, it feels like it. It feels like it's tearing.
Yeah.
And so I totally rested it, just went with my left hand. I'm ambidextrous, so it wasn't too bad. I stopped working, but just in general, really took it easy. Went back to work, and about the 10th of July...
Started right up again.
No, my left hand.
Oh, that's interesting. Could this all be carpal tunnel, do you think?
No, because it's not the ulnar side. It's the top. It's just my thumbs that are numb.
It's on the back of your hand.
No, it's on the top. Like, it feels like if you're looking at your thumb, like, straight on.
The palm side. It's on the palm side?
I guess the interior side of your thumb. Like, the part where it would touch your index finger is not numb. The outside part of it's numb.
Outside is numb.
Yeah. And it's shooting. It's excruciating. Wow. Mostly rotating, like, if I was going to turn on the radio or whatever.
Are you sure it's not a tendonitis? I mean, that's more of an area you get tendonitis, arthritis, that sort of thing.
But if you tap the front of my forearm, it zings and shoots, like... Like
the front of your forearm, not the back where the ulnar nerve is.
Right? The top. Like...
The top of your elbow.
Not my elbow, my arm. Like my forearm.
The top of your forearm.
Yeah. And the closer you get to my hand, the stronger the zing or the buzz.
And by the time... Again, you're using terms that... You're not talking about the palm side.
Nope.
The other side, the back side, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess it's at the dorsal side.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. That's not something I've seen. You really need to see a hand person about that. I've never.
And he was stumped. He didn't.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Who do you fly for?
Alaska.
Oh, how good. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's a good airline.
Yeah.
People on the East Coast who hear that, like, Alaska, like, it sounds like a joke to them. Alaska airline, are you kidding? Listen, it's a great airline, those of you on the East Coast. It's excellent.
And everything since Abraham Lincoln Air. I'm like, God.
All right. No, but I would go back to the hand person. All kinds of potential for overuse syndromes with what you do for your living. And that makes sense that tendonitis and or neuritis, or, you know, entrapment syndromes could be part of the deal here. Let's finally get to Michelle, who is... 21, Michelle.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I have a question.
Yeah?
I had sex a few days ago, and in between sex, or when I was having it, I started to bleed. Not like spotting, but like a lot. And then the bleeding stopped, and then basically I've had brown discharge for 3 days after, and I'm wondering, what could that be?
It can be nothing.
Okay.
It can be sort of an anovulatory cycle where you didn't ovulate normally. It can be endometriosis. Well, it can be a cyst. It can be a lot of different things that cause some instability in the lining of the uterus. But sex is a common way to sort of stimulate that.
Is it something I should be really concerned about?
No, it's something you should not be concerned about. But it's always best to have these things evaluated. Are you on the pill or some medication?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm on arthrotricycline.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be for another week or a half.
All right. So that sometimes happens on some of these pills. So you should call the doctor that's prescribing it and just let him know it's happening.
Really?
I don't. It's just mid-cycle bleeding. I don't think it's going to amount to a damn. I don't think it's anything.
Okay.
I think it's just. How long have you been on this pill?
Oh,
probably a few years now.
All right.
Never had that happen.
All right. But it may be time for change. Maybe not. Maybe nothing. Let's see. Here is Aurora, 20.
Hi. I've been having problems, like, lately in the past 2 years. I've been getting cramps, like, even when I'm not on my period.
In the pelvis?
Yes.
Have you had it evaluated?
No, but I was...
Then, listen, this is a radio program. You need to go in. Somebody needs to lay their hands on you. They have to check for endometriosis and cysts and infection.
You need to go to the doctor.
You need to go to the doctor.
And get checked out.
That's exactly right. There are a lot of things, some of them serious, some of them can affect your fertility, some of the things that can even be dangerous for you. If you don't get these things checked out, please get a pelvic exam and find out what's going on. Not the least of which, women in their 20s get cervical cancer, for crying out loud. And it's something that... if you don't stay on top of them, that's why people get cervical pap smears. That's why you get the pap smears, to detect cancer and take it out before it gets going. All right, I'm Dr. Drew. It is Loveline. I'm flying solo. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and I'll be right back. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla being here tomorrow night, and we will return to the usual rasher of abuse and blah 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 blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah.
In the meantime, we have a chance to get a couple calls in. Alicia, 17.
Hi.
Hey.
I was listening to your story about the woman that got stuck in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. Why would she use the tap? I use the shower head.
Well, the shower head is one technique, but the tap is another. The pressure of the large volume of water and the sort of pulsatile quality to it, some women find better than the shower head.
I tried that and it didn't work for me.
Yeah. How dare they like that? After all, the shower head is so much more convenient.
Yeah, you put it on pulse and there you go.
She didn't even like it, though.
What? What's that?
She said she didn't even like it.
Yeah, I can't. Huh? All right, so she should try the shower head.
Yeah, you should get on your back.
You're like incensed. You're angry with me just for having suggested this.
I didn't say it standing up.
No, Alicia.
She's like, why would anyone do it that way? But then she did it the other way, and it didn't work for her. So why don't you try and get on your back and throw out your back, honey?
No, Alicia, it did work. It did work with the shower head for her.
Okay.
No, she said she didn't like it.
You like the shower head, right, Alicia?
Yes, I did.
Very much.
Oh, yeah.
See? She didn't like the on the back stuff. She didn't
nope.
Like no, didn't like that. All right. Well, you're lucky. Right?
Yeah, well, no, I do it on my back, but I don't use the tap. I didn't like using the tap.
I see. So you don't do it standing up.
Yeah.
What is it about being on the back that, just can get things right that way?
I don't know. It's like, it's because, I don't know, if, you know, when you masturbate, usually, it's easier for a woman to do it on her stomach. But,
On her stomach?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's more because you get the right amount of pressure when you lie on your stomach.
So it's easier for you. I get it. All right.
Yeah.
Got it.
So when I use the shower head, it's easier for me to do it on my back. It's more fun to be on your back.
More fun. I see. All right.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Very good. Thanks for sharing.
All right.
Anything else?
No. Oh wait, there is something. I have this friend that's in a relationship, and I was wondering if there's any way I can convince her to get out of it.
Probably not. There you go. How about that? Fantasy answer. Tasha, 22.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew?
Not much. What's up with you? I'm enjoying my freedom tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know Adam's not there.
Liberating.
Unacceptable.
Liberating, I tell you.
Unacceptable.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I listen to you guys all the time. Well, in the night when I can, you know?
Thanks.
But I had a question because I was with my ex-boyfriend for like 3 years, and I haven't been with him for over a year, but he keeps calling me like out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, why are you calling me? And he says he's seeing somebody else. He tells me his stories. And I'm like, he's like, how come you don't tell me about the people you be with? And I'm like, why am I going to tell you? It's none of your business.
Why do you even take the calls?
I don't know. I seriously don't have an answer for that.
What?
I don't have an answer for that. I don't know.
Well, what does it do for you?
Nothing. I tell him. I'm like, well, why do you call me? Why do you keep calling me? And he's
You're
like,
not
I just want to see
flattered by it?
Oh, maybe a little bit, yeah.
Not aroused a little bit by it?
No, but I just want to know, like,
You're
from a guy's point of view. But from like a guy's point of view, why would?
What's he up to?
Yeah.
It's a little hard to tell. It's either sort of booty call, so I can see where he can go with it, because he's already, you know, he knows he's been with you, and he might be able to. He's got his foot in the door. You take his phone calls.
Well, we haven't done that for like a long time.
I understand, but he's sort of moving down that path. Or this other relationship either is going too well and he needs to kind of throw a wrench in it, or going badly. He's pissed off at his girlfriend and needs some sort of repose, some refueling with someone that really cares about him.
Yeah, because I asked my friends and they're like, he probably still cares about you. He probably did.
Not necessarily, no. It's more booty call. He's using you. He's either using you to have sex or using you to sort of refuel, feel better about himself when his girlfriend treats him badly. But it's not about you that he's calling. You see what I'm saying?
That's really good to hear.
Not until he breaks up with his girlfriend, and if he's interested in you. Yeah. Otherwise, he's mistreating you, right?
But I was his first girlfriend, too, so I don't know. It was his first everything, basically.
Well, are these just friendly phone calls? Or just, hey, how you doing? I was thinking about you.
Oh, I'm doing good, and I'm doing this, and, oh, yeah, I'm with this girl, and just, you know, like, actually telling me about his whole life.
Yeah, but how about, is he concerned about your life?
Like, does he ask me, or what do you mean?
Does he ask you about what's up with you?
Yeah, he asked me.
Maybe he does. Maybe it's just friendship. It could be. Yeah. Not all guys are kind of bad that way. But it's highly suspicious.
I'm like, I asked him, how would your girl feel if she knew that you were sharing his girlfriend?
And what did he say?
He's like, she wouldn't share. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's all I wanted to know, because I kept thinking, okay, does he still care about me or what, because he doesn't say anything.
He might, but if he does, you need to get some clarity on that and have him break up with his girlfriend. And to, you know, otherwise, he needs to stop sort of using you as a source of refueling and way to feel good about himself.
Hey, Drew, real quick before you go on.
Yeah.
In all fairness to Adam, when you're not around, you have no idea this happened, but when you're not around, he kind of misses you and he asks to hear some out-of-context Drew drops. So.
No.
Yeah.
I don't mind hearing the Adam drops.
So maybe before we go, just because we might miss him a little bit, we can throw out some out-of-context Adam drops.
Like what? Give me an example.
I'm 36 years young. Yeah. You're 70, haven't gone down on a bitch yet? Shoot me in the ass and then bang me in the ass. Big penis. I'm going to blow this guy. Okay, I'm going to stop at this chick's boobs. Damn, bitch. I can deal with the fact that I am gay.
No.
Who? Oh.
My God. I would like to hear a little Indian chant. Come on, give me a little bit of that.
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
No, cannot tell. Try this beverage.
This is the best.
It's goat-based. No, cannot tap. Read menu. Get fired. No.
Oh, my God. Dave, 16.
Hey, how's it going? I love the show.
Thank you.
Okay, my girlfriend's parents caught us sneaking out.
Yeah.
She's 15. We've been going out for about a year now.
Yeah.
And they won't let us see each other anymore. So what I was wondering is, like, if there's anything they can do, like, legally to stop us from seeing each other, like...
Are you having sex?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just because you're not... I believe they can at 15. Yeah, I think they can.
Oh, really?
Get you in a lot of trouble.
Really?
Yeah, I believe they can. I don't know that for... I have to check the law there again.
But, I mean, like, could they put me on, like... Or could they put her on, like, house arrest or get a restraining order against me?
Yeah, they could. Are they threatening that kind of thing?
Well, they called the cops on me, like, 2 nights ago for, like, having her out past curfew.
Well, there you go.
But, I don't know. They don't know that we're having sex. So, I mean, that's not really a problem. It's just, like, I've disobeyed their rules, so.
Why weren't you more compliant?
Well, I don't know. They're being, like, really unreasonable. Like, we never get to see each other, and,
Yeah, she's 15.
I don't know. But they let us see each other, like, once every 2 weeks. And, like, when we do, like, I go over to her house and her parents come sit down and watch the movie with us. So it's kind of like, I don't know.
How does she feel about all this?
She hates her parents. Like, her mom's, like, really abusive, like, verbally and physically.
Oh, boy.
So, like, it's not a really good situation or whatever.
Right.
So, I don't know. She kind of runs away with me, I guess.
Right. That's, in fact, what she's doing. Are you kind of a bad boy?
No, not really.
No. Can you just get along with the parents and comply with them for a while?
Yeah, we did for, like, the first 7 months, but...
You're getting tired of it.
Yeah, well, like, I got my license, and then that's when the problem started.
I see. Dave, I don't know what more you can do than try to rebuild the trust with them and just comply. They're not going to let go of this, and it could be a real serious problem for you. And what they're asking for is sort of quasi-appropriate. It's just the way they're executing it that's sort of intrusive and unpleasant, and the fact that the mom's abusive already, that the family needs help. But you coming in and taking her way is not going to make things better. It's going to make more chaos, and it's going to make trouble for you. We'll be right back. That about does it for another episode of Loveline. Thank you to all of you that participated tonight and for indulging me in a night of freedom and liberation. And let's hear one more Adam drop. Come on.
God damn it, you bitch.
There. Oh, I feel much better now. I feel like I've been on Loveline for a couple
of
hours.
I think rape is a good thing.
There. Oh, okay, good, good. Adam's back. Listen, again, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And tomorrow night, Adam will be back, and we will resume our usual rhythm and... complexities in this show. In the meantime, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.